John chapter 17. What a great passage of scripture this is. If you're not familiar with John 17, it's often referred to as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It gives us great insight into who the Father, what the Father is like, and certainly what Jesus is like. And so I would like to read just one verse from here. Chapter 17. And a little phrase. They were yours. You gave them to me. Let me back. I'll read a little bit wider scope of it here. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were. And you gave them to me. I don't fully understand that, to be honest. But they were. Jesus is praying this prayer. He says, Father, these were. They were yours. You gave them to me. We belong because of that. I've called this sermon His. His. And I think that we're often apt, there's often a danger here. We're apt to think of ourselves as our own. You know, I'm my own man, I'm my own personality, my own, this is what I am. That's what I'm about. So we think of ourselves as our own, and sometimes we think of the work of the Lord as ours, the gospel work. And we say, how is it going at the, you know, at our church, at our outreach, whatever else it would be. And we say, no, this is not, we're not our own, and this work is not our work. It's the work of the Lord. It's the Lord's work. And when we give towards the Lord's kingdom purposes. And that is a great relief to say, I am His. He gave me. I was given by the Father to Jesus. And so there is a great point in spiritual nobility that has been reached when we can really say, I am not my own. I am not my own. When I declare that, Father, I'm not my own. I belong to you. And it's only the noble nature that can be mastered. It's a very awesome thing in these passages that if we are spiritually, stiff-necked, if we are stubborn, now that's possible to be nice, kind, evangelical, Christian kind of Pentecostal, Baptist slash people, whatever category we'd come under, we look like we're quite pleasant, quite nice people, good people. And yet, in the midst of that, if we were spiritually stiff-necked, you can be spiritually stiff-necked. And you can be, although a nice person, you can be a stubborn person who refuses to be mastered. It's this calling that we, if, and I think what happens when I won't yield myself to the Lord, but I will be my own person and do it when I want, how I want, when I want, where I want it, I refuse to be mastered, then I think the Lord is forced to put us on a shelf. He just puts us up in there until we are more manageable, until we're more useful to His purposes. But it's not what He wanted. He wanted us to be useful, to be mastered by Jesus, so that I can say, I am not my own. I'm not my own at all. I belong to the Lord. You know that the chief characteristic of Jesus when He was on earth, you know, He was only here for 33 and a half years. And it was said of Him, they said, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, I say, for years, I wondered about that. I had wondered about why that was said. Why did Jesus say that? He hadn't gone to the cross. He was simply at the Jordan River. And here's this, He's my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And so as I wondered that from Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, which I don't think is in your notes, but I came across another verse in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7 to verse 9, which gives the reason why Jesus was so well pleased. He was well pleased because Jesus himself said, "It is written in the scroll, I have come to do thy will." And the Lord is impressed to say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Because he had one purpose and one purpose alone. He'd come to do the will of God. The characteristic of Jesus is that he came to be obedient. My meat, my existence, my fiber is to give my life a ransom for many, and which he came to do. I've come to do your will. And so this obedience thing is absolutely, that was it characterized our Lord. He was mastered by the Father, and now we are mastered by Jesus. And so we have to learn that God is not meant for us. We often think that it's all about me and what I want and my endless supply of needs. But it is we who are meant for God. He didn't save us so that I could be more of me. He saved me so I could be more of him, that his life would live in me and through me. And so it is true that Jesus does satisfy the lost, aching abyss of the human heart, but it must never lead us to think that the Lord is here to satisfy us. He's not here to satisfy us. We are here to satisfy him by yielding ourselves to the Lord. We're able to say that I am his. That would be great if I could have had t-shirts for everybody that we could wear them. And all it would say, just either there, maybe on the back, would just say nothing else, just his. His. And somebody would say, what's with the message? It's who I belong to. I'm his. That's what the scripture says. That's what I am. And I have come to do the will of the Lord, to satisfy the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to get yourself off your own hands. You know, we make this thing of yielding and difficulty, will I? We struggle with it. Oh, listen, do yourself a favor. Get rid of yourself. Turn yourself over to Christ. Yield everything to him. Don't carry these things of us trying to be this or that. Just say, Lord, I am not my own. Thank God. I am not my own. But I have come to do your will. I belong to you. I'm yours. I'm yours now. I'm yours tomorrow. Do what you want, when you want, how you want, however you want. Oh, it's a great way to live once you've got that. Once you have been mastered by Jesus, you will really enjoy this Christian life. You will be overwhelmed in it. It's so pure, delightful in every way possible. So we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Do you not know that you are not your own? Isn't it funny? I thought I was. In much of my thinking, I see myself as belonging to myself, but not so. And so I remember who I belong to. And when you know who you belong to, life takes on a richness and a fullness. Val has a good friend named Vonda Larson in Regina. And Val said that when Vonda was getting older and dating and going out and having a social life now, as she would go out the door, her mother, Mrs. Larson, would say to Val's friend Vonda, she would say, she was going out the door, she would say, remember who you belong to. Remember who you belong to. Have a nice night. Remember who you belong to. I suppose that was an additive to behave yourself. I suppose that was, in one way, could be said, behave. But there's much richer. Because we will act differently and behave differently when we are fully conscious that we are not our own. And as that young teenage girl would go out, a young adult would go out, imagine the echo of your mom saying, remember whose you are. Remember who you belong to. How rich that is. You're not your own. It's this realization that is wrought in us by the Holy Spirit. I don't think you just make it up. It's not just a matter of saying, I'm His, I'm His, I'm His, I'm His, I'm His. It's a work of the Spirit. Say, Lord, I thank you. I have been bought with a price. I am not my own. Not my own. And when I am my own, when I start making that, then I know that I'm off beat. I'm off track. But that phrase, His, His. And then we ask the question, have we realized that our bodies are not our own? That's the starting point. What part of me is not my own? This part. I'm not my own. You have a body. It's not your own. But His, as you are temples of the Holy Spirit. Temple of the Spirit of God. That's why it matters. These things matter because I'm a temple of the Spirit of God. And so our hearts are not our own. They belong to the Lord. Our affections are not our own, but His. His. Oh, wow, what? How do I know? Because He said, Father, you kept them. Now you gave them to me. I've been given by the Father of the universe has given me to Jesus. I don't have to make it true. I don't make it true by saying it. I say it because it's true. I belong to someone else. Not my own. I can't go out willy-nilly any way I want and do what I want. Why? Because I must check, because I'm His. And that's the motivating and guiding light. So we ask the question, have we realized that all the ambitions of my life, all the things that I would dream and hope and wish and fantasize and say, oh, that's so exciting, I'd like to do this or that, those things are fine, providing we've brought that they've been mastered by Christ. And then I say, Lord, does this please you? Because I want to please you. That all of the ambitions of life, that my ambitions would say, but I belong to Him. I belong to Him. You know, when you are looking after yourself, when you are the master of your captain of your own fate, you've got an unbelievable burden to bear. It's not an easy thing to be in charge of the universe, which most of us think that we are. I'm in charge of the universe. No, you're not. I'm not either. But I know what it is to feel that I was doing my own thing. And everybody probably here, for some points of their life, have had their own little foray into the world or into something else they were into. And you were just kind of roaming around. And maybe you knew that you were His, but no one else did. You just did your thing. And, you know, you hang out with these people or that person. No, you never mentioned that you belong to anybody else. You just do your thing and say, and hope that the music keeps going and all the events keep going. And you know, you've been there. How many know what I'm talking about? You've just been kind of lost, because you will always feel, even if you might be saved and born again and your name in the Lamb's Book of the Lamb or the Lamb's Book, and if you are confess your sin at some time, you're a child of God. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about who we belong to from that point on. And as we allow ourselves to be mastered, oh, the great necessity to be mastered. I can't be a rogue. I can't be an independent person. I belong to somebody. I've been given by the Father to Jesus, and now I must live out my life for Him. We are out for one thing only. And that is for Jesus Christ's purposes, His enterprises. Jesus has myriad enterprises and purposes for our lives. And I can only be out for that. I am out to fulfill the enterprises. I'm out to fulfill the purposes of the Lord. And so this is the, I guess we could call it, the inner streak of the Christ follower, the inner secret of the Christ follower. And here it is. You can remember this. If you can take this home with you, you would be a wealthy, rich person from this, because it's just that kind of a statement. That because this, you need to know this inner secret, here it is. I know that I am His, and that He is carrying on, carrying on His enterprises through me. There's a twofold part of this. One is, I present myself, I don't acknowledge, I say, Lord, I acknowledge I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. My body's a temple of the Spirit. All of my enterprises must be Your enterprises. And as I do that, that second part kicks in. Of all the things that Jesus has in mind that He wants me to be a part of, these things that we do together, that Jesus and I do together, you and Jesus do together, the thing that you were saved for, the thing that you were made for. It's now that you see you've given yourself to, you've acknowledged you're not your own. Now what do you do? Give yourself to His purposes. Give yourself to His work. Give yourself to His kingdom. And watch what He will do. And how beautiful to know that, number one, that we're His, and number two, that He's carrying on His enterprises through us. That it's not just a matter of going to heaven. That would be pretty narrow in its focus. There's amazing things He's going to do through you. Absolutely amazing things. Let the adventure begin. You won't, if you haven't been mastered, you won't have much in that area. But if you allow yourself to be mastered by Christ, so you're able to say, I am His possession. Yes, yes, I am. I'm His possession. And basically, I mean, for all intents and purposes, He can do as He likes with me. I won't resist. Why? Because I'm not my own. And so, do as He likes. We say, what if He wants you to go? Well, that's where we'll go then. Well, that's what we'll do then. It doesn't really matter after that. When you're not your own, you just say, well, whatever the Lord wants, that's what I want. I'm here to do. He can do as He likes with me. I don't have to seek permission. He didn't have to seek permission. But just as an understanding, Lord, anything You want, I'll go anywhere, do anything You want. Lord, say the word. I'm here to be used of You. And so each one of us probably has their own set of difficulties and temptations. And when you are identified as belonging to the Lord, how would I put this? Sometimes it looks like somebody maybe doesn't belong to Jesus. Maybe they're not His. For example, if we can't live at home, and you have your imaginary T-shirt on says His, it behooves us that I would look like His. And if nobody recognizes me, they say, he belongs to Him? Owen belongs to the Lord? Ever been in His house? Ever seen how He treats His wife? You see, there should be a reflection. I'm sure it must be much more difficult to live in a foreign field, to go overseas, to go to a different country, and you meet people, and I wonder if they would recognize that the Lord is in my life and He's reflecting Himself through. You see, Jesus is at work. And as I yield to the Lord, it starts in my own heart, then it spreads out to my home, then it spreads out to my neighbors, then it spreads out to the community, and that I am one of those people who has been mastered by Christ. And so it's all the same for all of us. We're going to be a missionary for Jesus at work in our neighborhood. It has to matter. I can't be inconsistent. If I am claiming that I am the Lord's, there must be something that gives an indication to somebody that it's true. He belongs to the Lord. Well, the truth of the matter is that God does not do anything with us. He only does things through us. Can I say that again? God does not do anything with us. That's not how it works. Only through us. And He waits to be used. Jesus sets down the conditions of discipleship, and you might want to turn there with me. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And I think it's verse 26, yes. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he returned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not," now here it is, "does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters," yes, "and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." I wrote a little note to myself. This word hate is an astounding word. I think it seems to be saying is that we hate every good thing that divides the heart from loyalty to Jesus. It's not that say, "Oh, good, I already hate my wife," or "I already hate my." It's not like that. It's that your love for Christ, your being mastered by Him, is so strong that all your other affections seem like hate. You know, there's this intense yielding to the Lord. So he said, remember how he concludes it here. Father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yeah, even his own life. So he's not, this is not self-hatred. This is that your love for the Lord and allowing him to control you and master you, that you are his. It seems like all your other relationships are negative and hateful. That's what I think is what he's saying. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to be completed? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, he's not able to finish. All those who see it will begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes out against him with 20,000? And if not, he talks about being suing for peace. If not, while the other is a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Therefore, every one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Oh, so intense. Such a basic verse that you have read this your whole Christian life. I've read this my whole Christian life. And yet it comes down and touches me again that it's true. I can't be just partly committed to Christ. Must I not be fully given to Christ? It can't be that I have, you know, I suppose most of us would kind of say, "Could I have $2 worth of God, please?" Not enough to cause an explosion, but just enough to, you know, a slight tremor would be fine. But I don't want anything earth-shattering. I don't want anything that's going to disrupt my peace of mind and all my plans that I have for my life. No, just $2 worth of God. No, you can't get $2 worth. To follow the Lord is to allow him to master us. And what a powerful thing that is. I won't read the rest of Luke 14 because I've touched on it, but he says, those who say, "Lord, Lord," are not the ones that Jesus takes on his enterprise. He says, not a matter of saying, "Lord, Lord." He takes only those in whom, when he has done everything through them, they are the ones on whom he can rely. Because you have been centered on Christ, and you've given your life to him, and you are his. It's no, you know, most of us, it's very private almost. Just a little service of your own. A little coronation, there it is. A little coronation service. Where I don't know whether it's in your car driving down the freeway. I don't know whether it's at the church and you kneel, you know, in a service and you knelt down. It doesn't matter so much when it happened, but that it happened is crucial. Is that you have decided to simply recognize that Jesus was your master. And that everything you do from this point on, it must center around him. Will there be messes? And yeah, I think so. We don't do this thing perfectly. But as we begin to grow into Christlikeness, that we maybe there, so there will be a major surrender, a major coronation, where you say, I've got to get me off of my hands. I've got to move away from this thing. It's always about me and what I want. I want this to work out and that to work out. I must surrender this thing so that Christ can now live through me all for all his purposes, all the enterprises that he has in mind. I don't want to miss them. I don't want to be so caught up thinking about what I need to be doing with the universe that God is not able to do it through me. I would say this, and I say it with after many, many years of observing this. Anyone who has ever had a little quiet moment, a Jesus moment, when you simply declared with the writer, I am not my own. What a breakthrough for some. I'm not my own. Thought I was, maybe even wish I was, but he bought me and sought me. He owns me, and I need to acknowledge that to him. And again, it doesn't matter where it happens, but imagine you get up from your knees and say, there, finally, finally, I have got my life off of my own hands, that I can say I am his. Now, Lord, it's up to you to do what you want to do in me and through me for the rest of my life. Whatever, that's not no longer your concern. Don't worry. What if listen, if you let the Lord master you, you will never have to worry what to do and when to do it and how to do it. It'll just be an automatic thing. Do you think the Lord would accept your that you becoming his and then not telling you what to do? Not likely, right? He, as you yield to him, you say, now, Lord, whatever you want, that's your department. My department is to yield. I'm to give myself over. I'm doing that, Lord, and I'm surrendering each day to you. But, Lord, if you've got something to do, you better tell me about it, because I don't know the next step. And by the way, this is why we get together in groups of people, small groups, as I was with my group this morning, and really like those guys. It's a good time and very interesting. So, but what really we're just talking about, how to let Jesus conquer our lives and how to rest in him. So, Don't say, well, what will I do? Will I have this? Don't worry about it. Just be sure at your end that you have yielded and that you know that you are his. And after a while, everybody will know that you are his. They'll just know. And that thing you've been dreaming about, that's probably from the Lord. Don't worry about it now. Once you've given yourself over, don't worry about it. That'll all come together. You know that thing you dreamed about? Say, yeah, well, does that mean that all my hopes? No, anything but. Now you can really enjoy this because he has your permission to work in your life. Nobody, you know, so I was starting to say this, in all of my life, and I've met hundreds and perhaps thousands of people, and I've never met anyone who said, Lord, I am yours. I am not my own. Nobody I've met over all this time ever said, sure, sorry I did that. Sure, sorry I wasted that time. No, they said, why didn't I give him control many years ago? How come it that I went far enough just to get my feet wet? I went, you know, that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and Jesus died for my sins and I've been water, you know, whatever else you've been. Why did I not go further? And that is a good question. To be able to identify the things that keep me from going to my ankles and to my thighs and to my waist until finally I'm well over my head and I don't know where Jesus is going, but we just carry on, Lord. I want to go the full depth of surrender with you. This is so basic in some ways it almost is humorous. I'm not telling you anything you have not heard 100 times before, but the essence of it is, I'm not my own, I am his. And what a richness. We can come back and have coffee together you know, down the road, and I say, if you still made, you know, allowed him to be number one, yes, then I know that your life, there'll be a richness in your life. There'll be a joy in your life. No one ever has been regretted, because that's the very essence of life. He said, you give up even your very life. Say, Lord, here's my life. Do what you want with it. The way you want, how you want, I don't care. I don't care where we go. If you want to go overseas, that's fine. I don't care anymore. I just don't care, because I trust you. That if you're the one that can do, that can purchase me, that I belong to you, then you can run, look after all the other things. And he will. And he will. We're going to pray. And then we'll just take a couple of minutes to focus on this aspect. And maybe for you, no one here is declaring sinlessness here. We've all failed, and we probably didn't look like Jesus' disciple at all. But many here, probably most, have taken this very seriously in your life, and you are a devoted follower of Christ, as much as that's possible for a saved person to be. So, Father, his, yours. Lord, it gives my heart great joy just thinking about that. I'm so glad I belong to you. And I pray, God, for my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, together we're so glad we belong to you. And it's not a restriction, it's a door to freedom. And we bless you. Take us further than we've ever been before. We don't care. You can keep us at home. You can send us abroad. Lord, you can have us take it different, whatever you want. That's what we want. We've come to do your will, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.